Today is a gift, a fresh opportunity to change your life with God's Word. A day to take responsibility and overcome challenges. A day to take on the world with a different mindset. Welcome to Firm Foundation.
Give God praise. Give God praise this morning. Give Him praise. You can do better than that. Give the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. The psalmist said, "One thing have I desired, this one thing will I long after, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." We're just going to love Him this morning. I make room for two. You and I, Jesus. All right, let's just love Him. Let's just love Him. Let's just bless Him. He's worthy of our praise. Thank you, Father. No one else can love us like you love us. No one else is a standby like I stand by. No one else is strength like you are. Thank you, Father.
Thank you. And I'll put you in front. You and I, Jesus. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. I'll make room for two. You are all that matters. Yes, you are.
You are all that matters.
Say, I'll put you in front.
I'll put you in front.
Front of my
melody. You are all that matters.
Yes, you are.
You are all that matters.
I'll make room, Lord.
I'll make room for two.
You and I.
You and I, Jesus.
'Cause you are. You were
all,
yes, only you, Lord. I'll make room for two. You and I, Jesus. 'Cause you were
all,
yes, you were all. I'll put you in front.
More than you. Life issues will not become more, be my focus more than you. You will be all that matters. I declare today, Father, you are all that matters. In spite of what will come my way, you are all that matters. In spite of what we will face, we declare today that you are all that matters. Just go ahead and declare it to Him. Just go ahead and tell Him. Just tell him, you are all that matters. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. Yes.
Oh, you are all that matters.
one more time.
I'll put you in front, in front of my melody. You are all that matters. You are all that matters.
I'll make room for two. You and I, Jesus. You are all that matters. You are all that matters.
Just give somebody a high five. Give somebody a high five. Love somebody as you take your lovely seat. Ego Heights, thank you so much. I'm hearing Osanera make you do what me. Even though I don't even know the full meaning of the song. Hallelujah. So good to be in the family today. How was your week? Awesome. It was great. Let's celebrate Reverend Ben and Pastor Kay. I'm not sure you heard. Let's celebrate Reverend Ben and Pastor Kay. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. I celebrate our pastors, our life group leaders, all officials. I will celebrate every family member. Thank you. Okay, we're still in our series, Thriving in Relationship. Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 happens to be the perfect scripture in the Bible. After Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, every other thing from Genesis chapter 3 to the end, Revelation, and even now, was designed such that it will return us back to Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. And if you look at Genesis chapter 1 and 2 very well, one of the things that is highlighted in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 is family. So my first submission this morning is one of the things God is restoring is restoring family. That is one of the things, everything from chapter 3 to Revelation and now is, that is why I said, repent, then restore. I believe God is restoring family. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 says, then God said, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 22, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, and now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat from and becomes irredeemable in my word. Hallelujah. The truth of the matter is, God is a family. God is a family. God is a family because if you read Genesis, the Bible verse was read just now, I say, let us. If it was just him, it would have been, let I, in my image. Man has become like one of I. But he said, man has become like one of us. God is a family. And God works through family. We cannot overemphasize that. Tell somebody God is a family. And God works through family. Therefore, my discourse this morning is simple. We're going to be looking at brief conversation. Hallelujah. Brief conversation because in family, you have the tall, the dark, the sanguine, the not so sanguine, the introvert, different kinds of persons, and everybody bring their different personality to the table. And many times we have issues, understanding our perception, our differences, and our position. The goal of this discussion, which is brief conversation, is restoration. It's restoration. So I want to see if God ever had a brief conversation. Can you read it? Okay, we'll try. So it's a bit lengthy. Genesis chapter 1, from chapter 3, from verse 1 to 9, then 12, 16 to 22. That's a background story. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden." The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden." So God has said, "You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from it and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her. I don't know why I underline, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me from the tree." I underlined that again. "And I ate." Okay. Then the Lord said to the serpent, said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be to your husband." Let's just flip to... "And you shall not eat..." Now talking to the man. "Now you shall not eat from it, because it is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plant of the field by the sweat of your..." And you see all that. You know, after all this, this is a brief conversation. After all this, God caused the ground. Yet Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 says, "Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to make wealth." You know, Genesis chapter 1 says, "And God did what?" Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. What did God do? "In the beginning, God what? Created the heavens and the earth." Full stop. In 2011, a certain astrophysicist said the Earth is what, $5 quadrillion. $5 quadrillion. Imagine someone owning a business. That's not true anyway, because there's a definition of contention of what is value and what is the scope of the Earth. But let's just assume the business called Earth worth $5 quadrillion. And God created the earth. The Bible did not say God created the earth formless and void. God created the heaven and the earth, full stop. Then he now went further to say, first day, second day, third day, and now said everything he created was good. You agree with me, to establish a 1 billion naira business is not beans. Then to establish a 5 quadrillion billion dollars, then you finish doing that, someone comes from nowhere, or your son because you love him, and destroy that business. Because this is where Adam lost it. This is where God PLC crashed. How many of you, I know you're born again, you love God, you're speaking in tongues. Someone will crash your 15 billion naira business and you'll be smiling. Talk to me. You say, you know, I love you. You won't have any qualms. It's cool, you know. It's your baby boy. It's your baby girl. It's your... We are family. How many of you will be cool with that? They say, somebody said they're not family, Risham. Hallelujah. But this is the reality God faced. A massive business given to a steward just crashed. Which means if God must be in that business, he must start all over again. Whoa. And you know the funny thing? Look at it. He first of all said, the wife gave him, he ate. God did not talk to the wife, God spoke to him. Secondly, he said, I heard your sound. I hid not because I've destroyed your business. I hid because I'm naked. No, slap him. Are you seeing it? Another dimension of foolishness is coming. I'm yet to understand where will I start from, where I'm going to. Then, he now said, is the woman you gave me. He has still not taken responsibility. This one go good, J-Lo. This is not J matter straight. And look at, after the conversation, God brought a brave conversation. First of all, he said, did you eat of the tree? Because if you even look at Genesis chapter 4, when Cain and Abel had that interaction, when Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's son was not, first of all, he told Cain, he said, mind it, paraphrasing, the rate at which you are going right now, the devil will soon make a meal out of you because jealousy is springing up. And Cain did not heed that advice. He still went further, and at the end of the day, he killed the brother. And God showed up and said, where is your brother? That's a tough question to ask. This Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave it only because his son, which means he loves us to die for us. Here is my beloved. And you are my beloved because you are made in my image and likeness. And you killed another one. And because we are family, or I love God, I love you, I was just like, okay, you kill your brother, it's okay. Just imagine how God was. But there was a way God dealt with the situation and the circumstance. That is the focus of the message. Not actually that because we are family, we'll deal with the circumstance and the situation. But it's going to be unto restoration. We deal with a situation, circumstances, confrontation, but it's going to be unto restoration. And let's look at the next. Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, he said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called into one hope for your calling. Hallelujah. And I tried to check the meaning of endeavoring. That's a TPT translation. Endeavor means to direct time and effort towards developing the bond that exists between each one of you in the body of believers. When he say endeavoring to develop the bond of peace, did he say that there will be no differences? Did he say that there will be no hurts? Did he say that there will be no pain? He is aware that there will be hurt and pain, and so he told us, even in the midst of hurt and pain, because the hurt and pain and the differences is going to come to break the bond of unity. And our goal as a family is to make sure that no matter what happens to us as a family, we keep the bond of unity together. Hallelujah. Okay. Most times when things happen to us or when we perceive things happen to us, the way we receive it might be different from the way it was intended. You know, Pastor Emily was at the midweek service. He was on fire. If you're not around, get that message. All right? That message is so timely. And because we don't have control over our growing up and people we meet, we will always have to go for inner healing. However, when we come of age,
we might not always get to the point where we need to go for inner healing for new issues. Because that is curative. This is preventive. Because when we learn to talk about things that happen, what we don't like, how we felt on the spot at that point in time, we'll not keep quiet, we'll not swallow it, so that the devil will not now start brooding it in our heart and we are thinking it beyond what has happened, then it's causing us to make a very strong conclusions and strong vows. But because we allow it to be, you realize that what was just something simple that was not dealt with, we didn't talk about it, we responded out of, and it has grown and it's come something very massive. So I'm saying this morning, we'll go for inner healing for the things that happened to us we could not control, we didn't know better. But as we begin to grow and we know better, we should minimize the amount of wounds that happens to us, so that we'll be, by having a conversation on what happened there and there, deal with the issue there and there, ensure that you are heard. And when we say deal with the issue there and there, most times, some people want to deal with the issue there and there by aggression. You know, you can be assertive without being aggressive. And oftentimes, I've seen people start crying. Why are you crying? They don't let me talk. Then, because they don't let me talk. You know, you are trying to resolve the issue. Or you have even finished, but he or she is crying. Why are you crying? Say, you don't let me talk. You don't let me talk. And what you have, what the person, what is coming out is the idea that you didn't allow me to vent my frustration, my irritation, my anger. Because I'm unable to vent my frustration, my irritation, my anger, I feel you cage me. So that when I talk, if one cast, make it cast. You know, when it casts and there is some, I feel ego, no. And Reverend will always say, do you want to win the argument or do you want to win the relationship? It's a question we need to answer. So, we are going to trash yesterday and expect that the issues are resolved in dialogue. Because we cannot reclaim yesterday. We cannot go back to yesterday. We should learn to trash yesterday and start every new day afresh. And believe that the moment we spoke about it, we are making headway. What's alive must be connected, and what's alive must grow. The proper state for a healthy body of believers is to be alive, to be connected throughout its path, and to be growing together. If we are alive, we must stay connected. If we are alive, we must grow. Reverend will always say, healthy things grow. You don't pray for growth. You just pursue health, and naturally you will grow. And to grow, to pursue health, means that you have to stay connected. Then automatically you begin to grow. And some prayer points will not necessarily be necessary. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 to 16. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Reasons for brave conversation. We need to have brave conversation because God is a family. We need to have brave conversation because God walks through family. We need to have brave conversation because we are part of one body. We need to have brave conversation because until you are healthy, you can't reach your full potential. The more, the merrier. That's the reason we should have brave conversation. If God is walking through family, we cannot walk against family. We cannot walk outside family. Even Jesus came from a family. Jesus walked through family. So it is too late to decide not to walk through family and not to be in a family. And because of that, we want to honor what God is honoring. We will need to have brave conversations to resolve the issues so that we remain in family. Praise the Lord. All right. How do we have a brave conversation? Steps. Roll over the story and identify the breakpoints. Roll over the story and identify the breakpoints. You see, when we notice there is a strain in the way you and I, when I notice there's a strain in the way you and I relate, or things not be as they be before, or you said something that did not go well with me, or I did something to you that did not sit with me, there's a tendency to withdraw, or there's a tendency to explode. Whether you withdraw, you explode, most times it makes the strain and the pain even worse. And you all agree with me that every pain is pain, whether it's perceived, it's intended, it is real. Pain is pain. And if I feel pain, I should be able to, I should, as much as possible, to communicate to you, this is how I feel. Or we had an agreement that this is what we're going to do, and I signed up for it. But suddenly along the line, there is a change, and this change is causing discomfort for me. All right? So it's not just I feel pain. We had an agreement, and we are working towards the agreement. Somehow you are beginning to make changes, because when I signed up, this was not what you told me. You told me something very clear, so I signed up. Now, halfway through, you are making changes that look as if it's choking me and it's pressing me. One of the things we need to do, we need to roll back the story. Go back to the point where it happened. Build a conversation so that we identify the point where the pain, the break, the mistrust happened. If we're able to identify that, I know how you felt. I hear what you intended. This is not what you meant, but this is what you had in mind. And that action, I'm able to relate with how you are feeling in your heart. What it will help me do, or help us do, is that it helps us to rework the damaged scenes. It helps us to rework the damaged scenes, like a movie. If there is an error or a wrong in a scene, we can go back. Because we are talking about it, we identify it, we can rework it. And then, Anwili's team, Anwili will say, we care for each other's heart. We apologize for this behavior. We apologize for this perception. I didn't mean it that way. This was what I intended, but you got it like this. So you see, we are repairing the scene. Then if we are able to do that, the next thing it does to us, what we'll do is we nurture the new spark. Have you noticed that every time you are able to resolve an issue with someone, there is freedom between you and the person? You no longer avoid the person. You don't hear the person's name or the person's matter, and your belly will just turn. You know, you are okay being around the person. You're okay talking about the person. You don't have a strain calling the person, receiving calls from the person. It just opens up the line of conversation. What we now do is we now nurture the new spark. Because that we have had that dialogue and we have removed the block does not mean automatically it will just flow. We will have to make meaningful effort. Reverend will call it, where's the fruit of your forgiveness? I have forgiven you. That's what I said. But I need to have the fruits of my forgiveness. Because I have forgiven you, I can call you. I can hang out with you. And I don't go back to saying the things you did before. Is somebody getting blessed today? Hallelujah. Okay, let me just hold. Untreated wound over time become a stench. It smells. It irritates. It was just a little pill, but you did not allow it to be treatment to be administered to it, and over time it gets rotting, and you just can't hide it. It just ooze everywhere you go. Have you been around someone that came with a singlet not washed? Brokenness is an enemy to wholeness. Brokenness is an enemy to wholeness. As long as you are broken, you can pray to be whole. God can do it that way suddenly, but God can also put you through a process with human beings so that you become whole. But it is better to pursue wholeness than to feast on brokenness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. So what do we achieve with restoration as I begin to round up? What do we achieve with brave conversation? The first thing we achieve with brave conversation is that you will identify your place. You will identify your place. You will find you. You will identify, because we are talking about family. You know, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." He also said, "I can do nothing but whatsoever I see my Father do." In a community where there is brave conversation, people can find themselves and know their place. Where there is no brave conversation, everybody wants to be the head, everybody wants to be the eye, everybody wants to be the leg. And at a school of worship yesterday, someone was asking a question. What if you're in a department and you have praise team, choir team, and the praise team and the choir team are playing politics? One is trying to outshine one. And if you are a friend of the head of praise team, you automatically are an enemy of the friend of the head of the choir. What is happening there is that everybody wants to be the head. No, we don't know our place. Not everybody will be an eye. Not everybody will be a head. Not everybody will be a hand. But everybody will be something. I don't need to be head to be significant. I don't need to be the hand to be relevant. I just need to find my place. And finding my place has nothing to do with the pressure you are putting on me. Finding my place has to do with what has God called me to be. What has God designed me for? I came for a purpose. I have an assignment. There's something God had in mind when he said, "Let Derek come forth." So what I need to do is to know why did God say Derek should come forth. Automatically, if I know why God said Derek should come forth, I'll begin to understand the giftings and the talent of Derek. I might not be able to speak as much as you speak, but you might not be able to think as much as I think. Everybody find your place. And we need to stay in our place. This is a big family. We are getting bigger every day. But you know, in this place, as it were, some people will find their place. But some people will be comfortable not even finding their place, not even knowing they have a place. We are not a body. Everybody is not functioning in the body. We are not a body. Everybody is not functioning in his body. You know, it is becoming difficult again and again to do this family called the kingdom, because people who are kingdom members feel they are at liberty and at freedom to visit the family when they want to visit the family, and not be in the family when they don't want to be in the family, attend the things they feel they should attend, serve the terms they feel they should serve. By this, I'm not meaning you should be coerced to serve in the place that is not your place. But if God brought you into a family, no father will have a child 22 years old in the house, whether it's a male or a female, and the mother will be washing dishes and it will be comfortable. Am I speaking to real people? You literally send the boy out of the house. Notice I'm not saying the girl. I'm not saying the girl. I'm choosing to stay with the boy. Because if he's a girl, they say the girl should cook. He should be in the kitchen. Therefore, if he's a boy, he should go and play football. So everybody must find their place. What is your place? What is your role? There's a role you have designed to fulfill in FEM Foundation this season. Tomorrow you might not be in Nigeria, you might not be in Edo State, and there will be no FEM Foundation. Wherever you are going to go, God does not make mistakes. He does not miss his puzzle. He's going to take you from here because you are a puzzle living here to complete a puzzle somewhere. So you're not going to go there and also sit down. You are going to go there and find your place. So that's why we are beginning. We have talents, we have treasure, we have time. These three things is what we are supposed to use when we find our place. Not overflow, find your place. The next thing, the next thing is that we connect with other parts of the body. When you identify your role and you understand your design, you know where to connect to. Because the eye will not go and connect with the toe. Hello? The eye will not connect with the toe. The nose will not connect with the knee directly. The nose will connect with other things that connects and gets to the knee. That's the truth. So we don't just... That is why Ministry Transformation Development Center, they do what we call SHAPE. If you've been through our members, our Femme Development Academy, you understand that you have your gifts, you have your shape, you have your spiritual gift, your heart, your passion, your experience, your personality. All these things put together will highlight the places where you could serve, where you should serve, where you should connect to. Because once we connect, we'll have a form that looks like a body. But when we connect randomly, although we are together, we are not making sense as an image. So the hand must stay in the place of the hand, the nose must stay in the place of the nose, the ear must stay in the place of the ear, the limb must stay in the place of the knee, so I will have a form. And we don't need to pursue prominence, like I said earlier. And when you're able to do that, you cannot empty yourself into others. As long as the heart does not stay in the position of the heart, it can't pump blood. It can't pump blood. It can be pumping something like Pastor Peter said now, but it's not blood it's pumping. So we must get to that, because nobody was born to die full. We are all born to die empty. If we are all born to die empty, if I'm nowhere connected, I can't pour. And if I can't pour, I can't empty myself. If I cannot empty myself, I can't get to say I have finished my course. I can't have the joy of satisfaction. I can't have the joy of fulfillment. There'll be so much on the inside, and when I get to 70 and I'm apprehensive and I'm looking back, I should have, I could have, but I can't roll back the hand of time. Why live that life when I can connect now and begin to pour into the lives of the people connected to me in the body? Look at somebody, say connect. Connect. Tell another person, connect. 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 Life is not a sprint race, and nobody will have the stage forever. Inasmuch as we would love to have the stage forever, nobody will have the stage forever. We must get to a point where we pass the baton to somebody. From the very inception, Mercy was not in charge of music in Femme Foundation. But somehow the baton has been passed to her. And she will not be in charge of music forever. She will also pass the baton to somebody. That's just the simple truth. From the very inception, at the time, Pastor Victoria was in charge of media. At the time, Derek was in charge of media. At the time, Daniel was in charge of media. At the time, Juliet is in charge of media now. You cannot... Everybody loves spotlights. But you will not always have spotlight forever. And spotlight might be your biggest downfall. Tell somebody, spotlight might be your biggest downfall. There are persons who receive the joy of satisfaction by just being in the cleaning department. I've had calls one of the weekend service. I went to the restroom. It wasn't too pleasing. And I think I was rushing back to come and do something inside the hall. And I saw a new member going to the restroom. My head was timing. This man cannot enter this place like this. You know? But somehow, I just beckoned on somebody who is not his department. You know what you do? Please, just help me tidy this thing. And try to look for a way to delay the new guest to come. Have you gone to the restroom and it's not so cool and you don't bloody care? Just manage it and move on. And Reverend will always say, leave the restroom cleaner and better than you met it so you don't cause pain to the next person. Yeah. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting blessed? Hope I'm not wasting your time. Are you sure? Look at somebody, tell the person, keep pouring until you finish. Keep pouring until you finish. Don't worry, you're not going to finish now. You're not going to finish now. Mona, just relax. You get with it, they think, yeah. Hallelujah. Your life every day will be an inspiration to someone. Your life every day will be a catalyst to someone. Your life every day will be an activator to someone. I remember growing up, at the time, I wanted to be a consultant. But thinking back, I realized that I was wanting to be a consultant because at home, the father figure was into consulting, and I liked the way he was. Wake up at night, he's reading, he's writing, he's doing presentation, slide. I just like all those things. So I realized that I was gravitating towards that. Then when he passed on later, I met this family friend who came around. It's part of the reason why I still love white to tomorrow. If you notice, I love white. The only thing I cannot wear is white trousers and white suits. I love white. If I can be all white, I'm white. I just realized that my love for white was, he was working in Oceanic Bank then. And when he comes to the house, my God, I started saying, I'm going to work in Oceanic Bank. I started nursing it in my heart. More quick finish this school. But by the time I was done with school, Oceanic Bank was not existing again. One of the reasons, my first account is with Oceanic Bank because it's him and because the color is white. It was that bad. So I was nursing all that because somebody came. I saw somebody who connected with our family and it became an inspiration and a catalyst for me. And I was pursuing that until one day, I don't know, Mercy and somebody just came to school. And they came to school, they were just for CFI, dishing out the word. They finished dishing out the word. They said, this person is in Jaro, she's from Benin. What do we go do now? This Catholic church matter, you go to church, you stay outside. You don't enter inside the church. And I've come of age. I know they follow Nagoda church, but no church. So I look for the church. And I came to church. No matter what they did that day, I was waiting for her to come on stage. The moment she came on stage, I said, I came to church. And I came the second time. And I came again. I went back to school. Which church do you attend? Fame Foundation. That's all how it started. And just inspiration. As if that was not bad enough. As at then, I was still dreaming of Oceanic Bank. I was going home one day after midweek service. This tree, they cut the tree, the mango tree. Car was passing, and the car rolled down. How are you doing? Talk. You know what? I'm just thinking, can you come around the office sometime? I said, sure, why not? I'm still in the office sometime now. That's how I'm in the office sometime. This is 15, 16 years after, I'm coming to the office sometime. This is now, you know, when Oceanic Bank disappeared, it was now Sahara Oil. It was CCV. Because it's my area of strength now. You write CV so that you can't pad the CV. It was Sahara Oil, but this is the Oceanic Bank. This is Sahara Oil. Because someone identified her place, connected, poured herself, and activated me. And here I am today. The other two persons, they may not be here right now, but somehow they contributed. Because I hate a chaotic workplace. I can't stand chaos. I hate mediocrity and just they choke me. And I realized that those other two contributed, as it were. Your life will contribute to somebody. Brave conversation matures you. Thank you. Are we going to pray now? Are we going to sing now? But the action point is, what brave conversation are you going to have? Is the action point you need to take now. Who are you going to have a brave conversation with? When will you have that brave conversation? And who is going to be your support system to pull through? Just write this question somewhere in your notes. is the action point for today's message. I know you have heard, but it's more than knowledge. We're here to do. Who are you going to have a brief conversation with? When are you going to have the brief conversation? And who's going to be your support system? Can we rise on our feet? The person I've been talking about is Pastor K. Benson Akigbe II. Actually, we have many brief conversations to have. Very many. All right? Look at somebody and tell the person, I will have a brief conversation with you to keep our relationship. You are valuable to me. You go, I need you. You need me. We are part of God's body. Look at 10 persons and just say to them, I need you, you need me, we are part of God's body. Ego height. Tell 10 persons, I need you, you need me, we are part of God's body. Stand with me, agree with me. Sometimes I do wrong, but agree with me.
You need me.
Not in my wrong, but agree with me that I'm a person. Can we sing? Can we not just stand to sing? Can we move around and tell each other this? Prophesy to somebody. Bless somebody. If some persons are standing, the people are moving around, go meet them and tell them. Tell somebody you're important to me.
I
will hurt you sometimes, but I need you.
I pray for you. You pray for me. I love.
Thank you for listening. To get a copy of this message and other life-transforming messages, please visit our shop at www.ffi.ng/shop or call 0706-969-6499. God bless you.